Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to Manifestation Therapy, your trusted source for wisdom on the universal principles and the transformative magic integrating manifestation with the people that you support. I'm your host, Judy, and I'm thrilled to embark on this enlightening journey with you. In every episode, we'll unravel the timeless secrets of the universe, explore the art of conscious creation, and dive deep into manifestation therapy's incredible potential. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner or just starting your quest for a more abundant and fulfilling life for yourself and your clients, this podcast will support your growth, inspiration, and empowerment. So let's ignite the power within, align our thoughts with the energy we desire, and be our best potential. Welcome to Manifestation Therapy's podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Manifestation Therapy, where we delve into the transformative power of the 12 Universal Principles. I'm Judy, your host and the developer of Manifestation Therapy, which is now a registered trademark. I'm pretty proud. And we're here to guide you on a journey towards becoming your full potential with the universal principles in supportive practice. So we all want to have a more positive, fulfilling life. And today's episode is dedicated to those clients we end up having who may be feeling stuck in depression and find themselves hyper-focused on negative thinking. Let's explore how to shift those patterns using the universal principles. I'm not sure if you have experienced depression yourself, but when I was younger, I did, quite badly. I struggled with suicidal ideation and even had a few attempts. I was stuck and completely unaware how to get out of it. I even tried counseling, but the counselor that my doctor sent me to, yes, that's how I did it back then, was we went to our family doctor and they sent you to a psychologist. Well, that psychologist was 70-something, not that that's a bad thing, but he basically said, maybe looking up from his paperwork three times, that I was fine and dismissed me, despite the fact that I was in tears the entire time I was in his office. So not the most quality. I can't imagine how that man was even practicing or getting referrals now that I've had my own successful practice. The only other time I tried counseling was as a teenager when I was forced to go to a counselor and she basically didn't believe a thing that I was going through. Anyway, I'm glad that I'm not like that. Depression can leave a heavy fog and it clouds our minds. And it makes it harder to see anything out of the current state. When combined with a persistent focus on those negative thoughts, it can seem like it's nearly impossible to break free. If we see someone and they say, oh, just switch your thoughts or just flip it, it's not that easy. Sometimes the darkness is overwhelming. And sometimes we just need someone to understand that there's darkness. I found freedom from my depressive hold through hope. And then I entered a state of even deeper, thicker grief after the loss of so many of my deeply felt connections, people who I depended on, sometimes too much. I had a lot of codependency back then. But I did it through self-care, self-work, and a deeper connection with the 12 Universal Principles. I did it through books like The Power of Now and You Can Heal Your Life and The Secret. But that's another story for another time. I've been trying to work on my story and put it into a podcast, which is why this podcast hasn't come out in so long. But every time I do, I'm not happy with the results. So I'm going to have to work on that. Anyway, today we're going to discuss how the 12 Universal Principles can help you transform these challenges and support others in starting to manifest a brighter, more hopeful reality for themselves. So what do you do in manifestation therapy with the universal principles with your clients when they're stuck? So I'm going to go through the 12 universal principles and use each one with some examples. The first one is the law of divine oneness, and it reminds us that everything is interconnected. Our thoughts, emotions, and actions are all part of a larger whole. So when you're stuck in a cycle of negative thinking, it's crucial to remember that you're not alone. By reaching out to others, seeking support, and understanding that that energy impacts not just ourselves, but the world around you, we can find healing. And we want to support our clients in finding a sense of community as well. We can suggest they go into group therapy or connect to support networks. I suggest some join the meetup groups that are on social networks, just for platonic friendships. If they live alone and they don't feel connected in that way, then we can support them by suggesting online groups or networks. We can support their connection to spiritual practices, not necessarily religious practices, although that's okay too, but they can simply be connecting to nature or taking walks, or how they might feel in the past when they connected with a bigger picture. When I talked to one of my clients about this, they brought up being on a boat in the night and just looking up at the stars and how they felt so connected to everything because they felt so small compared to everything all at once. It was quite beautiful. If our client is part of a family unit, then we can always help them find ways to feel connected with their spouse and children. What do they do with each person in their family? Or how about their parents or extended family? How often do they call them? How often do they connect? How are they doing things that feel positive or good by having positive conversations? Or in the past, how do they feel positive as opposed to having these depressive thoughts that they have currently? And how have these brought them down? We can talk about volunteering or doing things that make them feel positive in their community and make them feel connected at the same time. Sometimes we can even tell our own stories or come up with social stories that provide examples of being connected to more than just those depressive thoughts. Because currently, if they're connected to their depressive thoughts, then they're just kind of staying in that state because that's all they want to focus on. We could even tell them a story about self-compassion and connection to a bigger possibility through hope. So that's the first universal principle. And then we have the law of vibration. Everything in the universe vibrates at a specific frequency. Depression lowers our vibrational state, making it difficult to attract positive experiences. We want to support our clients to understand that their thoughts, emotions, and actions emit vibrations that influence their overall energetic state. We don't have to explain it all in a woo-woo energetic way, but we can just explain that negative emotions lower our frequency overall, while positive emotions raise it. Lower emotions affect our nervous system negatively, while positive emotions can help motivate and energize us. I also usually do this by explaining how every thought has different neurotransmitters, and these neurotransmitters send signals in the form of hormones or more neurotransmitters into our emotional brain, into our limbic system, the subcortical brain, and that our bodies then take them on through our nervous system as hormonal reactions or responses. So these are like little electric impulses in our brains and our bodies where the thoughts and the emotions affect what we end up feeling. So basically negative emotions, negative thoughts can eventually make us sick. Resentment or longing or regrets by staying in the past leave us in a depressive state, because they are unchangeable experiences. So when we're feeling sad and down, we're stuck in that kind of past life thinking. Basically, negative thoughts create negative behaviors, which is CBT, right? But if we are able to start engaging in activities that raise our vibration, such as listening to uplifting music or spending time in nature or practicing gratitude, then we can create some positive neurotransmitters to emit and positive emotions to be felt. Positive body experience and positive body behaviors or external behaviors. These small steps can help shift energy and create a more positive state of being. We can also recommend physical activities that clients enjoy, whether it's yoga or dancing or simply daily exercise routine. Physical movement, it doesn't really matter what we suggest. It depends on what the client kind of enjoys. But these physical movements release endorphins, which naturally elevate mood and energy levels. Sorry, my dog is barking. There's a delivery man. I got a parcel. It doesn't have to be intense, the physical movement. It can be something simple or silly, like you know, when you're a teenager and you dance around your room, sometimes doing these silly dances to loud music around the house can really lift the mood. And that kind of childish, it helps connect to that part of us. We want our clients to foster positive relationships, to spend times with people who uplift their mood, say positive things, and provide healthy support. You know those friends you have that always talk about negative things or cycle around negative emotions? When we leave those kind of visits, we end up feeling down ourselves. So we want to be around people that are positive, which isn't possible all the time, but try to connect with those people, with those relationships that are positive. Through our own relationship with our clients, we can provide a strong, positive, healthy boundary and offer them a safe space and an uplifting environment to explore their emotions and experiences. We can flip their thoughts for them and help them practice making positive affirmations. We can teach mindfulness practices that help clients stay present and focused on positive aspects of their lives. This can include breath work, body scans, mindful observations, or just looking at their surroundings with the five senses. Introducing meditation techniques that are designed to raise vibrational frequencies can help, like visual meditations, where clients imagine themselves surrounded by positive energy. These can be particularly effective. We can encourage our clients to engage their senses through activities like enjoying a favorite meal or taking a warm bath or experiencing art. Sensory experiences can help elevate mood and vibration. Suggest creative outlets like painting, writing, doing crafts. Creative expression can be a powerful way to process emotions and raise vibrational energy. I have a client who enjoys playing with Lego. Yeah, there's no age range for Lego. It's all okay. Help your clients develop a list of positive affirmations that resonate with them. Repeating these affirmations daily can shift their mindset and raise vibrational states. Teach techniques for reframing negative thoughts into positive ones, or cognitive restructuring that can help clients shift their focus and elevate their energy. So the next one is the law of resonance. The law of resonance states that frequencies amplify each other. By aligning our thoughts, emotions, and actions with positive frequencies, we can attract more of what we want to desire into our life. We want to support our clients to focus on cultivating positive energy to resonate with and attract similar positive experiences. So we begin by encouraging our clients to become aware of their core emotions and how they influence their vibrational frequency. So this involves recognizing both positive and negative emotions and understanding their impact. Help your clients to create a living and working environment that resonates with positive energy. So maybe it's about decluttering their spaces or beginning to practice self-care, personal hygiene or exercise and nutrition that's positive, a sleep hygiene routine, caring about their personal space in ways that maybe they haven't done in a while. We support them through visualizations that inspire those changes. Maybe suggesting that clients consume media that inspires and uplifts them, like motivational podcasts, books, and movies. This can help maintain high vibrational states. I usually keep a list, and I'll pick from that list to provide to various clients what they like. The law of cause and effect, and yeah, I'm going to go through each one of them. So the law of cause and effect is that every action has a reaction. Everything leads to another. It's kind of like the law of karma. We can support our clients to understand that their current state is the result of past actions and thoughts. By taking responsibility and making conscious choices today, they can create a different, more positive future. Just like where they are today is probably from where they were. We want our clients to reflect on what changes they can make right now to start seeing different results. So we can do this through narrative therapy, dialectical behavioral therapy skills like radical acceptance, taking a look at past patterns and how they are playing into the current emotional states. Maybe it's even looking at what their parents did with depression or what they said about it. It's also about looking at how others may have been in similar places, but shifted through making changes gradually. We want to provide specific questions to guide their reflection, like, what action did you take today that positively impacted your life? Or were there any actions that led to negative outcomes? How can you change your actions to create more positive effects? We work with our clients to review past actions and the outcomes that those led to. This analysis can help them identify patterns and understand how their choices have shaped their current reality. By encouraging our clients to view past mistakes as learning opportunities, we end up learning how to apply this knowledge to future decisions or help them make current decisions. Then there's the law of correspondence. This principle teaches us that our outer world is a reflection of our inner world. By changing your internal state, you can begin to see changes in your external reality. We want to encourage our clients in self-reflection. So, what thoughts are they consistently holding on to? We can support their work on replacing this negative self-talk with affirmations that reflect the reality that they wish to create. We encourage our clients to keep a daily journal where they reflect on their thoughts, emotions, and experiences, prompting them to note patterns in their thinking, particularly recurring negative thoughts or self-talk. We all have that kind of internal critic. By doing this practice, they become more aware of their inner state and its impact on their external reality. So we can provide clients with specific questions like, what are the most common negative thoughts I have about myself and my life? Or how do these thoughts influence my actions and experiences? What positive thoughts can I focus on to create a different reality? We want to work with our clients to identify instances of negative self-talk. This involves recognizing automatic thoughts that are self-critical or pessimistic. We teach our clients techniques for reframing negative thoughts into positive, empowering ones. For example, if a client frequently thinks, I can't do anything right, help them reframe it into, I am capable and learning from my experiences. Guide your clients in creating personalized daily affirmations that reflect the reality they wish to create. They have to be present tense statements, but they have to also resonate deeply with them. So it might not be, I am worthy of love and respect, because they might not believe that, but maybe it's, I am learning to be worthy of love and respect. Then we have the law of compensation. This law assures us that we will receive what we put out into the universe. We want our clients to begin to practice kindness and generosity, even when they don't feel like it. In doing so, they will begin to boost their mood and create a cycle of positive energy, benefiting themselves and others. This will in turn encourage their own practice of self-compassion and being gentle and kind to themselves. We can encourage clients to write about how these acts of kindness make them feel and any changes that they notice in their mood and energy. This practice can help reinforce the connection between giving and receiving positive energy. Teach your clients mindful self-compassion exercises, like placing a hand over their heart and speaking kindly to themselves in moments of difficulty. Give them space and time to slow down in your session and remind them that the kindness that they extend to others needs to also be directed inward. Help your client to develop affirmations that promote self-compassion and self-kindness, like, I am worthy, or I am gentle with myself as I grow and learn. Encourage them to repeat these affirmations daily. Affirmations are so powerful, because what we've been telling ourselves for years is often unconscious and negative, and with the affirmations, we're creating this new self-talk. And then there's the law of attraction. Anybody heard of this one before? Like attracts like. When you focus on negativity, you draw more of it into your life, just as when you focus on positivity, you draw more into it. We don't have to convince our clients of this as a universal principle. I know a lot of people think it's very woo-woo, but we can talk about how when they think and feel negative, they are more aware of the negative behaviors and negative experiences that occur. We can support our clients to instead practice visualizing what they actually desire. I do a visualization with my stuck clients where they do a mindful exercise 5 years into the future. So I'll have them close their eyes, take a few big breaths, and then I have them picture a screen where they see themselves, but 5 years in the future where they want to be. I encourage them to look around at where they're living, what they see there, if they're alone, how they feel. Maybe they have a drink in their hand, coffee or something else, and they can smell it and taste it. Anyway, we can encourage our clients in creating a real or a digital vision board as well. So they can write down their goals, they can use words or pictures, and they can add to that visualization exercise by creating an actual board where they can look at it daily. So we support them by picturing a living piece of artwork with the joy that they want to have. And the more they picture this, the more they look at it, the more they effectively become mindful when they take it into their daily practice, the more they're going to attract it. And then we have the law of perpetual transformation of energy. This principle states that energy is constantly moving and changing form. So we can use this to our advantage by transforming negative energy into positive energy for our clients. We support our clients to practice mindfulness and meditation to help manage and shift their thoughts. We can encourage them to engage in creative activities that allow them to express and release pent-up emotion. Introduce your clients to mindful practices that focus on bringing awareness to the present moment. Techniques such as mindful breathing, body scans, mindful observations. These can help our clients become aware that their thoughts and emotions are there without any judgment against them. Encourage your clients to set aside a few minutes each day for a mindful practice. It doesn't have to be intense. It doesn't have to be 10 minutes of silent meditation. Regular mindful practice can help them develop the ability to observe and manage their thoughts and emotions. It facilitates the transformation of negative energy into positive. So maybe suggesting your clients create art projects based on themes that reflect their current emotional state or desired transformations. For instance, create a collage that represents their journey from negativity to positivity, even if it hasn't happened yet. Or have them choose colors that represent their depression and have them draw it out on a mandala. A mandala basically starts in the middle and works its way out on a piece of paper. There's no other rules that you can have for it. Or simply free draw. It can be whatever they need it to be or whatever they want to be. Once you get to know your clients, you're kind of aware of what they'd be open-minded to do. We can also work with clients to identify and challenge negative thought patterns through cognitive behavioral therapy, teaching them to reframe negative thoughts into more positive, empowering ones. This cognitive shift helps transform the energy of their thoughts. I use brain spotting a lot, which I haven't really talked a lot about, but I think I'm going to do an episode in the future on it. Then we have the law of relativity. Everything is relative, and every challenge is an opportunity for growth. When you're feeling down, try to see your situation from a different perspective. So we can support our clients to understand that mistakes are lessons, negative experiences can have positive reflections, and we can ask them questions like, what lesson can be learned? Has there been a time in a past where something similar caused you to feel down? What did you learn from that situation? How can this experience make them stronger or more compassionate? We want to encourage our clients to look at their situation from another person's perspective. So ask them to imagine how a friend or mentor might view their challenge, or maybe what another person might say to them. It helps them see their problems in a new light and identify potential for positive outcomes or lessons. Oops, sorry, I'm playing with a rock and it fell. What would they say if a friend or a lover or a child was in the same depression? What would they show them as far as compassion and understanding or support? And then I ask them, why can't you show yourself that same? So we shift our focus to providing that to themselves in those kind of questions and awareness. ask your clients to consider how they might view their current challenge in the future. Will this issue be significant in a year or 5 years? Quite often, we don't even remember what we went through. We may remember the feeling or that we were in a grief or state of depression, but we may not remember everything that we were thinking or going through. This helps our clients realize that many problems are temporary. Everything is temporary. And over time, things seem less daunting. Okay, so that brings us to the law of polarity. This principle teaches us that everything has an opposite. When you're feeling stuck in negative thoughts, remember that the opposite is also true. Positive thoughts and experiences are also possible. Focus on the duality and actively seek out the positive aspects of the situation. During sessions, we can help our clients identify their strengths and how they have used these strengths previously to overcome past challenges. This can build their confidence and help them see that they have the resources to handle different difficulties. We can support their understanding that as far as depressive low self-evaluation goes, there can be opposite as well. We can use prompts to help clients explore that dual nature of their experiences, like, what is the opposite of this feeling or situation? How can this negative experience lead to something positive? We want to guide our clients to see that there's always both sides. Teach them to reframe negative situations by identifying their polar opposite. So, for example, if a client is experiencing sadness, guide them to explore moments of happiness and joy that exist or can be created in their life. Everything is possible. This helps them shift their focus from what is wrong to what could be right. Work with clients to develop resiliency by embracing that concept that every negative experience has a positive aspect. Discuss past challenges they have overcome and how these experiences have contributed to their personal growth and strength. We want to encourage our clients to develop and practice coping strategies that help them navigate difficult times. This could include mindfulness, meditation, or seeking support from loved ones. Emphasize that these strategies can help them find balance and see the positive side of negative experiences. Now we're on the law of rhythm. Life has natural rhythms and cycles. We want to support our clients to understand that their current state is not permanent. Embrace the ebb and flow of life, knowing that better times are ahead. We can guide them to establish routines that have support for their mental health, like regular exercise, a healthy diet, and sufficient sleep. So important. These are the cornerstones and basic needs that need to be met in order to recover from a healthy pattern. Without body movement, healthy food, healthy sleep, our bodies can't even create healthy hormones that shift the body into positive states. Sometimes explaining the biology of what our body needs can support the understanding of how the rhythm or depressive states come and go and how they're being held in order to motivate us to shift into positive patterns and rhythms. We want to teach our clients to be flexible with their goals and expectations, with themselves, understanding that progress is not always linear. Help them create plans that allow for adjustments based on their current phase of the cycle. We can also support them through just allowing their feelings of depression, not necessarily in their thought processes, but in understanding these thoughts are leading to emotion and that feeling low is just part of the brain's emotional system. It's all temporary, and we need to have these feelings, but we also need to move through it. We can't go over it or under it or around it. We must go through it. Sometimes all they need to hear is that it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be down. It's only temporary. By suggesting simple transitional actions that mark the shift between different phases or cycles, it can be so helpful. For example, it could be a simple ritual to close out the workday and transition into personal time that can help clients and ourselves mentally and emotionally shift gears. We should, as supportive professionals, always be making this a part of our own practice, especially if we're taking on really heavy cases. I know I take on a lot, and if I don't do like a grounding before I walk out that door back there, I am not on my game with my kids. And then there's the law of gender. This is the final one, by the way. This law is all about balance. It reminds us that there's a balance between masculine and feminine energies within ourselves as well as externally, and the doing and the being and the thinking and the feeling. So when dealing with depression, it's important to find a balance between taking action and allowing ourselves to rest and heal. A lot of people reach depression because they haven't given themselves that balance. So encouraging our clients to reflect on their behaviors, thoughts, and emotions in order to identify which energy, whether masculine or feminine, is more dominant in different areas of their lives. Masculine energy is often associated with action and logic and assertiveness. It's a lot of the prefrontal cortex, really. While feminine energy relates to intuition and nurturing and receptivity and a lot of the kind of emotional brain. We don't have to talk about the law of gender necessarily, but we could just bring up, you know, there's a DBT exercise, dialectical behavioral therapy exercise of wise mind, where you have two circles. One is rational mind, one is emotional mind, and they come together. And where they come together is wise mind. So which one are they active in? We simply discuss the differences, and we can just discuss between being focused and logic and assertive action, or being nurturing and receptive, being gentle. So we want to guide our clients through an assessment of their daily activities and emotional responses. We can ask questions such as, in what areas of your life do you feel you're overly assertive or logical? Or where do you feel you need more nurturing and intuition? This reflection helps clients understand where they may need to cultivate balance. We can also suggest activities that cultivate feminine energy, such as meditation, journaling, creative expression like painting or music, and spending time in nature. These activities can help clients connect with their intuition, creativity, and emotional states. We can recommend activities that enhance masculine energy, such as setting and achieving specific goals, making lists about their goals, engaging in physical exercise, sports, practicing assertiveness and communication, and taking decisive actions. These activities can help clients build structure, discipline, and assertiveness. We want to help our clients develop daily practices that integrate both energies. For instance, a morning routine that includes a mix of meditation, which is feminine energy, and goal setting, which is masculine energy. This can create a balanced start to the day. Encourage your clients to observe and balance these energies in their relationships, including their relationship with themselves. That's probably the most important. Discuss how they can bring being more nurturing and receptive, the feminine, or more assertive and action, the masculine, into their daily interactions, depending on what is needed for harmony and growth. Okay. So remember, transforming life is a journey, not a destination. We want to be applying these universal principles in our supportive practice and supporting our clients to begin to shift mindset and energy, paving their way for brighter and more positive futures. This leads us into alignment with our own potential, success, and abundance. Thank you for joining me today on Manifestation Therapy's podcast or YouTube video if I actually post it. And if you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, like, leave a review, and share it with anyone who might benefit from it. Until next time, remember to be your best potential, support a practice with the universal principles, manifestationtherapy.com. Bye.